Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
We're tuckers. If you don't know what a tucker is, now you do. All right. There's a few of us around the world. It's such a joy to be with you tonight, and we thank God for his goodness, for his presence. He's so wonderful. And you have a special treat tonight. My wife's going to share with you. And she's very good at sharing. And she'll have a word from the Lord for everybody.
He is very kind. Well, it's our joy to be here with you. We have really looked forward to this time. We were here with you last year, and we enjoyed that, and the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. However, tonight is our time for all of us to be together. The first thing that God put on my heart was, all of you are here because he supplied money for you to come. Is that not true? Yes. Let's stand. All of us stand and thank him. We're going to thank him for the provision that he gave for you to come to camp. You know that was a miraculous provision? If you had to work for it, you had health for it. If you had to pray, he answered prayer. If someone supported you to come, we want to thank the Lord that he put that in their heart to support you to come. So let's all thank him right now, okay? Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. I want you all to raise your hands and thank the Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for providing for each one of us, Lord, that we could come to camp. Lord, if it was through a job, thank you that each one had the health to do it. If it was parents, Lord, thank you that they had jobs to help get us here. Lord, thank you for the vehicles that brought us here. Lord, it was your provision. We acknowledge that. Lord, you said to approach to you, we had to have a thankful heart. And right now we thank you, Lord. Thank you. I want you to all say it out loud. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And you had good food to eat. We had a little sample of that tonight, of what you had all week, and that was wonderful. You know, Zion has sent their very best to you this week. Pastor Humphreys, where are you, and where is your lovely wife? Where are they? Are they here? Stand up, please. Let's thank the Lord for them. This couple is one of Zion's best, and God sent them to you. They had to make plans to come up from Florida to be with you, but they sacrificed whatever it took to be here with you. And they gathered together very special people to be counselors, to be your guides this week. I want all the counselors and those that help stand up so the group can, we can thank you all together, okay? Stand up. I didn't want to say your name so I would forget somebody. All the teachers, counselors, all those that help you campers, please stand up. Amen. Campers, what do you say to them? Thank you. Again, louder. Thank you. You know, they gave up a week of their own time to be with you. And again, we want to have a thankful heart. We want to thank God. They had the strength. They had the health. They had the finance. They had good cars to bring them here. Do you see how simple it is to be thankful? It's in the little things. You all have shoes on tonight. Are you thankful for those shoes? Yes, and you have clothes on. And some of you girls, I already talked to you what beautiful hair you have. And some of them said to me, oh, but you don't understand all the product I have to put in my hair to make it look nice. Thank God he gave you provision to put product in your hair to make it look nice. And all the rubber bands and everything else you hold your, isn't that great to be thankful for that? It is. And some of you guys, I even said, man, do I like your hairdo? And, well, they said thank you. They probably use product, too, but they won't say it as loudly as you girls. But he gave us soap so we could all stand each other when we come together and not smell like real yucky campers. We could smell nice. And I know tonight was like a little banquet for you, but I thank God for soap and water. Do you? Yes. You know, it's simple. It's simple to have a thankful heart. And how much we need to embrace that every day for the very simple things. When you get up in the morning and have your cereal or a glass of orange juice or an apple or whatever you grab before you go out the door, be thankful for it. Is that a provision for you? It is. Be thankful for it. And then also we had Pastor Frank Anderson. Pastor Anderson, would you stand up, please? There he is. Let's thank him. He is also one of Zion's finest. You know, he teaches in many nations. But not only that, he is a very prominent businessman. Did you know you had a very prominent businessman teaching you this week? You did. That was Pastor Frank Anderson. Now, you're going to remember that about him. And if you start talking computers to him or whatever, he can really talk to you some things you might have never known about it before. So we thank God so much for Pastor Frank Anderson to take this week off of busy travel and teaching schedules to be here with you. Now, one thing about it, you that are left and remaining, I want you to stand up. All you campers, stand up. We're having a stand up and sit down time right now. You are here by God's appointment, and we appreciate that. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Okay, you can be seated. God had an appointment for each one of you to be here this week. And the rest of us that are looking upon you tonight, we thank God. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you called these ones for such a time as this. He did. He brought you here. And we thank you for that. And, you know, I just want you to remember how easy it is to be thankful. But, you know, I can just look at my husband and says, oh, he already knows I love him. But you know what? I bet I tell him at least 10 or 20 times a day how much I love him. I do that. You know why? Because I love to tell him, and he tells me back. I know when I say, I love you, he's going to say, I love you too, and I like that. So I sow it, and I reap it. But you know what? With God, you can have that same effect upon him. You can say, God, I love you. I thank you. And you can feel that cleansing warmth come inside deep within you. And him saying back to you, I love you. I want you. I want to populate heaven with your lives. And we know there's somebody out there, the adversary, that's trying to populate your life for hell. Just as much as God is trying to populate heaven, he is trying to populate hell. And those are the things we want to make a distinct difference in our life, that we want to follow Jesus. We want to follow the way, the truth, and the life, and not go into the pathway of destruction. Because just as much as God is concerned about populating heaven, the devil is concerned about populating hell. Will you, where the sinner will burn forever and ever, total darkness, total destruction. And he wants to take your life tonight and have a whole new chapter. You know, that which has been in your life, he wants to close that chapter and make a new chapter, a new beginning. Do you believe he can do that? Yes, he can. And it begins with thanksgiving. It begins with thanksgiving. So you remember that every day. Now, one thing you have been taught very strongly this week, you have been presented a guide for your youth. All the instructors, all the counselors, all those that have presented the word of the Lord to you, they are doing this to guide you. You don't want to forsake that which you've heard this week. You don't want to cast it aside or go into another stream, another realm of darkness. You want to very much guard what those that have counseled you this week. They want to be a guide for you. And the Bible said, forsake not the guide of your youth. Today, each one of you, looking back upon this week, had a special selective guide by the guidance of God's word that you could hear his mighty, mighty, wonderful way, and you don't want to forsake that. And you don't want to forsake the commandment and the covenant of God. Tonight, when I was sitting there while worship was going on, I felt some of you have really been devastated, have really been hurt by people that you have really loved. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's grandparents, uncles, aunts, teachers. But I felt some of you have really been devastated and disappointed by their choices. But I'm telling you tonight, you can begin to make a new choice for your life. That can be put away. You can forgive them and have that put away, that it doesn't have to affect you anymore. I was very devastated by some choices my parents made. I was very devastated. But you know, instead of saying, well, if that's how it's going to be, that's how it's going to be, I, at those times, began to say, Lord, I want something different. When I get married, I want to really love my husband. When I get married, I want my children to really love me and I really love them. And I began to make choices. The choices I saw my parents make mistakes in, I began to use that to feed me that I would begin right choices. How many want to make right choices? How many have been devastated by people with wrong choices? We all have. We all have. We're all flesh and blood, and they have failed. I understand that. But tonight, it can be a new chapter for you. It can. You can put away all of those hurts that have hurt you so deeply and say, Jesus, they're only flesh and blood, and I want to forgive them, but I want to make choices that are going to be different, that I can affect people differently than what they have affected my life. You know, when I first became a mom, I held my little baby, and I had two children. And, you know, each time I was like, oh, God, I love them. I love them so much. You know, my son now is 53 years old. He's my oldest. And my baby is now 50 years old. But you know what? I still have a cradle in my heart that still loves them. And not only that, I could only have two naturally. I would love to be grandma to each one of you in this room. I love that. I love God's family. No matter what culture you are from, we're adopted into the family of God, aren't we? He has a new culture to teach us, to let us walk into newness of life. And again, it can be a new chapter for you. It can change your life. By saying, Lord, I accept that adoption. I accept that adoption. Now, one thing that God really laid on my heart, and I don't want to speak too long because the greatest speaker is following me. I'm just the forerunner. And that which is coming is going to present to you something that God has very special for each one of you. But one thing the Lord really spoke to me, and that was for you guys in Job chapter 31. Takes me a minute. I don't have one of those fancy flash it up, punch it in, and it pops right up. I still have pages to turn, so you'll just bear with me for a minute. Job 31, for you guys, I believe you have seen things that your eyes should have never seen yet. I believe you have heard things that your ears should never have heard of in the kingdom of darkness. I believe you have also been defiled in your heart and in your life. But tonight, God wants you to begin to consider of making a covenant with him. And Job made this covenant. He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? What he's saying is, I don't want to be looking at wrong things. I don't want to be motivated by wrong things. I want to keep myself until God brings the right girl for me in my life. He can do that. Do you believe he can do that? I know he can do that. I'm a testimony of that to this man. God kept him. I always said, I've never known anybody more kept than my husband was. He gave his heart to the Lord when he was 4 years old. And God really kept him. But you know, to have that continuing in his life, he made certain covenants with God that he would only have eyes for me, and I would only, and my covenant was I would only have eyes for him. Now, I'm going to talk to you girls just for a minute because I don't want to take too much time here. But you know, also, your lives have been devastated. As I was looking at some of your faces, it's like, ay, 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 why didn't God make me look like you? Beautiful faces, beautiful hairdos, just beautiful, beautiful. But you know what? God spoke to my heart too. Some have already been defiled. Some have already had things happen to them that should have never taken place yet until marriage. But you know what? Tonight, God can give you the heart of a virgin again. Do you believe he can do that? He can. He can do that. And again, he wants to take your life and turn a new chapter. What is done is done. But we need to confess our sins. And he is able and just to forgive us. And tonight you can begin anew. That is the hope I want to give each one in this room today. Tonight can be a new chapter in your life. You know, when I was a teenager, I gave my heart to the Lord a little bit later in my life than my husband did. And when I was a teenager, I had a deep cry in my heart. And I said, Lord, I don't know who he is or where he is, but I know I have such a deep love for someone that I haven't met yet. I knew that. And I would go to bed at night as a teenager and say that prayer, Lord, I don't know who he is or where he is, but will you keep him for me? And God did that. God did that. And, you know, he wants each one of us to present ourselves every day, first with thanksgiving and thanking him, and then presenting our life to him. Lord, lead me. Show me the way I'm to go. Let me meet the ones I'm to meet today. Let me be an encourager to people. Let me be a thankful person. And God wants to meet with each one of you tonight. It's a new chapter, folks. I bring to you an open book with a new chapter. God wants to, you know that song tonight, cleanse me, make me pure, wash away. He can do that. He'll make you new. And God wants to do that. And I believe I've heard from God that he is coming into this meeting to do that with each one of us tonight. If, it all, if we submit and we surrender. I call them my two S words. If we submit to him, which is this, Pastor Humphreys was raising his hand, showing you what true surrender was. You know the old cowboy movies, stick them up. And everybody goes like this, you know. Well, the Lord doesn't yell that to us. He'll just say, do you want me? Am I worthy to come into your life? Do you want me? He's a complete gentleman. And we say, Lord, I submit. I surrender. And the Lord is here to present a new chapter to you tonight. I'm going to pray with you. Father, I know you spoke these things to my heart. Lord, eyes have beheld things that they should never have seen. Lord, I pray that each person tonight can submit their eyes to you. can surrender their eyes to you, can submit their ears to you, can surrender their ears to you, Lord, can submit their hands to you, can surrender their hands to you, can submit their walk to you, and can surrender their walk to you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the pathway of life will be made known to each heart tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. My darling.
This equipment is wonderful, unless you have to walk over it. All right. It's a joy to be with you tonight. I'd like to put a thought before you before we get into the message, but why are you here on this earth? What is God's purpose? Why did God place you here? Well, I'll tell you what that purpose is. God placed all of us here so that we can prepare for eternity. Because when this life is over, we're going to be somewhere forever and forever and forever. And what we do while we live on this earth now, what we do with our life, what we invest our life into, is going to determine where God will place us forever and ever. And we're on this earth to give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and to prepare for His purposes for us for eternity. And God wants us to get a vision of that. We don't want to get caught up in the things of this world because they'll take us away from the purpose of God. They'll cause us to miss the purpose of God. And as someone was sharing earlier, I think my wife, but Satan wants to destroy us. He hates us. He hates God. He wants to take us down so that we will miss the purpose that God has for us. And I want to talk to you about that tonight and look together at the purpose of God for us. And we're going to look in the book of 1 Samuel tonight. 1 Samuel, if you'll turn there with me in your Bible. And we're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10 and 11. There was a woman here named Hannah. And it says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. And she said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid, remember me, and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now Hannah was married to a man named Elkanah, and both of them were godly people. They were very godly people. They wanted God's will. They wanted God's purpose. But Hannah had been married to Elkanah for a time and had not conceived a child. She wanted a male child. And she cried out to God. This is her prayer, asking God for a child. And she said, Lord, if you'll give me a man child, I will dedicate him to you. I will give him to you, to your purpose. And we see that they were godly parents, and Hannah had endured great trials because, you know, all the time she's looking to have this pregnancy come, this man-child that she longed to have. She's waiting for that to come. And it went on time and time again that she didn't have that child. But eventually, she was able to conceive. God gave her a child, as she asked for, a male child. And she had said to the Lord, she made a covenant with God. She says, God, if you will give me a man-child, I'll give him to you. He will be dedicated to you, to your purposes, for all the days of his life. And God granted that request. And that child had a heart for God. And I want to tell you this. If you have godly parents and you have a heart for God, don't take that lightly. That is a special, special gift from God. It's a special gift from God. And at a young age, my dad was preparing for ministry. And it put something in my heart that I had a heart for God. I wanted to do God's will. And if you have that heart for God, don't take that lightly. That's a precious gift. And God wants to do something special in your life to fulfill his purposes through you and in you. When Samuel was born, and that's the name of that child, Hannah took him to the priest, Eli, and she dedicated him to the Lord. And she left him there with Eli. And Eli was not a very faithful priest. He had neglected things that God said were very important in his life. But Samuel went to the priest and was left there as a young child, that he could be trained and prepared for the priesthood or to be a prophet in days ahead. But it's interesting about that day, that time, that season. It was a very low time spiritually. And we see that it was very similar then as it is today in the days in which we live. It was very low. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli the priest, and the word of the Lord was precious. And that word precious there means it was valuable, very valuable, but also it gives this idea of the thought of it was rare. It was very rare. The word of the Lord was very rare in those days because it was such a low time spiritually. And part of that reason was because Eli was not a faithful priest. And Samuel was taken there under him to be trained and prepared for the priesthood. And the amazing thing is that God began to work in Samuel's life in a new way. And in 1 Samuel 3, verse 4 and 5, the Lord called Samuel. He had been given a room where he slept. And in the night, he heard a voice calling his name, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, here am I. And he says, here I am, but he didn't see anybody there. But he ran into the priest, Levi's room, and or Eli's room, excuse me, And he presented himself to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli said, "I called not. Go lie down again." And he went and lay down. And this happened four times. It happened four times. Samuel just get back to sleep, and all of a sudden this voice is calling his name. "Samuel, Samuel." And he run into Eli. Finally, this old priest that was very dull spiritually caught on to what was happening. And he says, "The next time you hear that voice, it's the voice of the Lord. You say unto him, 'Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for I hear your voice.'" And God wants everyone here to come to know his voice, just like he spoke to Samuel. Now, how important is that? Well, it's extremely important that every one of us come to know and recognize the voice of the Lord, because he wants to speak to every one of us personally. He wants to give us instruction. He wants to guide us. He wants to reveal himself to us. And he wants to come to every one of us like he did to Samuel. And eventually, Samuel caught on to what was happening. And the Lord, it says in chapter 3, verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli, and he says, 'Here I am, for you did call me.'" And Eli perceived, this time he finally caught on. He perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he called you again, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood. And I was studying this, getting ready to speak to you, and I never saw this before. The Lord came and stood right in his room. Isn't that amazing? God was there to appear unto Samuel. And he stood, and he called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears you." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle. And in that day I will perform against Eli, the priest, the appointed priest at that time." He was so wicked. God said he was going to bring judgment upon him. And he says, "The things that I have spoken concerning his house, when I begin, I will also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house." And notice this, "I will judge his house forever." See, the things, when we forsake God's ways, the consequences are not just for here and now. When we go into sin, we are making choices that are going to affect us very potentially forever and ever. Forever and ever. And he said, "I will judge his house forever." And this is the reason why, "for the iniquity which he knows." See, Eli understood something. He knew something about his sons. And he did not correct them. How many enjoy being corrected by your parents? "Whoa, wait a minute. Thank you, brother." Well, I want to tell you, being corrected by your parents is really very important. It's very important. They have a responsibility to do it. They have a responsibility to obey God. It's written in His Word very clearly that children are to obey their parents and the parents are to correct their children. It's very clear. Eli didn't do it. And notice, God says, I'm going to judge his house forever for the iniquity that has gone on in his house, and he wouldn't deal with it. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. It's a wonderful blessing when we have authorities over us that will come to us and say, you are wrong. This thing you're doing is wrong, and I'm going to correct you because I love you, and I want you to enter into God's purposes. I don't want you to live eternity in hell for the way you're living. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to stop you. And parents have that authority to do that. And God wants us to appreciate that. Let me go on. Parents must be faithful to correct their children, as the Word of God instructs. And if you have godly parents, it is so important that you respect them and thank God for them. Don't ever go against them when they try to correct you. Accept it. We trained our children, and we had times when they would come to us and expose something they had done because they were full of guilt, because they had transgressed against the laws of God that we taught them. And they came and they wanted correction, because they knew the value of it. And whatever your parents' spiritual condition is, God commands you to respect them. Even if they're not saved, you are to respect them, honor them, and obey them. That's God's word. And they will help you to avoid becoming like one of Eli's sons, because the judgment of God is still going on over those two boys that their father would not correct. So it's a wonderful blessing. See, God's ways are right. They're wonderful. My father loved me, and he spanked me, and it hurt terrible. And I hated it, but I loved him for it, because it really changed my life, and I thank God for it. Now, Samuel had to be trained as a child to know when it was God speaking to him. And it's very important for your life, everyone here, it's very important that you come to know God's voice. God wants to speak to you. How many of you have heard the voice of the Lord speaking to you? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a number of you. That's wonderful. But God wants everyone here to come to know His voice. It's essential that we do know the voice of the Lord, because God has many things, and we'll talk about some of these as we go along. But Samuel had to be trained. It was a learning process. We don't just automatically know the voice of the Lord. It's something that has to be, we have to receive training to come to know it's the Lord's voice. And he needed instruction from Eli, but Eli was very spiritually dull. But God made his voice very clear to Samuel. And that's why we have this incident where Samuel went running back and forth between his bedroom and Eli's, trying to answer Eli when it was God speaking to him. And finally, Eli began to realize, this is God speaking to this boy. And it was so important that he came to know God's voice. And I don't care what age you are, if you've never heard God's voice, God wants to begin to speak to you. He wants to train you to know His voice, and it will be essential to you fulfilling the purpose God has for you while you're on this earth. God wants to instruct every one of us, and it's very essential that we hear from the Lord like Samuel did. God made His voice very clear to Samuel, and Samuel responded, and eventually Samuel began to declare the word of the Lord to the nation of Israel, because the priest was not hearing from the Lord. The priest was not declaring God's ways, and God used Samuel, and he was raised in a very special situation. But see, Samuel, it wasn't a priest school. Samuel was placed there by his mother, who had promised him to the Lord. And he didn't have other friends. He didn't have other friends his age. He was raised separately. And God began to speak to him, and he developed a relationship with God that was most unusual. And he became a prophet to the nation of Israel that turned their course. And God wants every one of us to come to know the voice of the Lord. It takes some time. It takes patience. It takes some training sometimes. Sometimes we need to go to those that are over us in the Lord and say, you know, I heard this voice speaking to me. What was it? Who was it? What's happening? And some godly person that cares for you needs to give you instructions so that you know when it's the voice of the Lord and what you're to do. It may be that you are in a situation and you begin to sense the presence of God. You maybe don't know why you feel the way you do, but it's because God is coming near. When God comes near, you can feel His presence. You can feel His presence. And God wants to speak to you and begin to train you so that you know when it's God speaking, and you know how to respond to Him. You know what He wants, and you know how to respond to Him. He may move you when He speaks to you to wait on the Lord. How many of you have learned to wait on the Lord? Okay, a few of you have. It's very special to wait in the presence of the Lord. You know, when I'm with my wife, I don't talk to her all the time. I give her a chance to talk. And then I talk. And sometimes, though, we just look at each other, don't say anything, but there's vibes going. Now, we're married 53 years. Woo! And we've got vibes. We love each other. And God wants to develop us so that we have vibes from Him. And if He comes and says, wait on me. Now, every night about 8 or 8:30, I become very tired. Now, I know that, you know, I'm not exactly a pastor, but I was a pastor for 42 years. But now I'm not exactly a pastor, but to tell you what exactly I am, I can't explain it. But I'll tell you, by 8:30, I'm exhausted. And I'm ready to go to bed. I've got 5 more minutes. And I've had times when I get ready for bed and I crawl into bed and I have a sheet that I pull over me and my pillow is so comfy and our bed is so comfortable. And I just say, oh, Lord, thank you. And the Lord speaks, aren't you going to come and wait on me? And I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I forgot. I have a chair in our living room. And the Lord waits there for me at various times throughout the day. He does. He waits for me. And He wants me to come and just sit there. Sometimes He speaks to me right away. Sometimes we just sit and develop our relationship. And I get to know Him more. And I feel the drawing of His presence. And it's a wonderful time there. But I have nights I'm so tired. I go to bed and God says, aren't you going to come and wait on me? And I get up out of bed, oh Lord, I'm so sorry, I forgot. But you don't forget. You're young and your mind's real sharp. But see, when you get older, you're going to be like me. But when I wait on the Lord, oh, I've never regretted. I've never regretted waiting on the Lord. There's times when He may speak to me and give me an answer of something I'm dealing with that I have to have an answer for. I have to have answers for other people. And I don't have them myself. Lord, and I cry out to the Lord, Lord, will you give me an answer? And then these times when I wait on the Lord, oftentimes that's when He'll give me the answer. He'll make it clear. And it's amazing some of the answers God gives. I could never come up with an answer like God does. It's awesome. He's wonderful. And other times He'll speak to me about situations that I may be ready to face the next day or maybe the next week. And I'm ready for it because I've waited in the presence of God and He's given me the answer ahead of time so that I can answer that situation. And I want to encourage you. God wants to build this kind of relationship with every one of us. I'm no different than you. At 1 year old, I was 1 year old, just like you were. Think on that a while. All right. And I understand the situation you're in. I know the things you face because I was there myself. But I thank God He apprehended me at a young age. And He began to speak to me at a young age. And God wants you beginning this night and sometime in the next few weeks that you begin to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you and that you begin to know His voice from all other voices and you will listen to Him. You will respond to Him and do what he asks you to do. And it's going to start a relationship in your life that will transform your life. You'll love him as you spend time with him. Sometimes the Lord will speak to us in dreams. Many years ago, my wife's mother had a reoccurring dream for 3 nights. It was the same dream. And it was about a couple who were involved in a car accident, a very severe car accident, actually. And we were coming home. This is after she had her third dream. We were coming home from church on a Wednesday night, and a drunk man in the next lane over to us, this is a two-lane highway, a drunk man drove into our lane right head-on in front of our car, and he hit our car, boom, a crash, and the airbags went off, and we thank God for them, but we were still injured, both of us, and my wife more than I. She was driving. And we thank God he preserved our lives. We were both injured. But Angeline took more time to recover than I did because she had worse injuries. But we were greatly consoled by the fact that God had given us a forewarning of the event. He showed that it was going to happen. We knew something was going to happen to somebody. We didn't know it was us. But after it happened, we knew God was letting us know. He was aware that accident was going to happen, and he was going to use it for our good. And he's used it for our good. And we're both still alive. That's the good part. Praise God. But it was dreams that God gave to my wife's mother. God spoke to us through her dreams. God may speak to us to save us from a harmful event. You know, you think, oh, I'm young. Nobody's going to hurt me. I'll never be in an accident. I'm really good on the wheel. And I'll tell you, things can happen so fast, you won't even know what hit you. But God was very gracious to us. He gave my wife's mother 3 dreams. She saw us in that accident. And we thank God. We have such peace about it because God had ordained it. He used it for a purpose in our lives. God may speak to us to save us from a harmful event. I've had times when I was getting ready to do something, God says, don't do that now. Don't do that. And he'll tell me what to do. Perhaps we have plans to go somewhere and the Lord speaks to us not to go. He may do that. And I've had many occasions, my wife and I, in our lives, when God would speak to us and he would save us from events that could have destroyed our lives at a young age. We need to be sensitive to his voice because he may be saving us from an event that would be very destructive in our life. He might be saving us from an attack. And I want to tell you, I'm sure many of you realize that we are living in a very unusual time. We are living in a very unusual time. These last 5 years, I'm using that, it may be a little less, a little more, but these last 5 years, the United States has changed so much that I've never seen it like this in my lifetime. And I'm 73. And we're living in an amazing time. And things are happening all over the world now. Now, one thing we know, God's going to bring revival. But also, Satan is given by God a time to bring a tribulation upon the earth and to test people, to prove people. It's the tribulation, and Jesus will not return to earth until that tribulation has taken place. Now, some generation is going to be here on the earth when that takes place. Now, a few years ago, I thought, I don't think the tribulation is going to take place in my lifetime. Things are running along pretty smoothly, and things are going well. And then these last 4 or 5 years began to change. Our country began to change. There's wickedness in our nation now like we've never known before. Terrible wickedness. And the amazing thing is, a lot of it is in the church also. People that call themselves Christians are doing things they would never do before. Why? Because the mystery of iniquity begins to work. And God is going to let His people be tried. But God wants to keep us. God wants to save every one of us. He loves us. But we must know His voice and obey His voice when He speaks to us. It's essential. God may speak to you to deliver you from everlasting destruction. He may speak to you. You're planning on going someplace, and God speaks to you and says, don't go there. How many have ever had God speak something like that to you? How many have ever had God speak something like that to you and you disobeyed? Okay? That's dangerous business. I'd rather walk on a tight wire across the Atlantic Ocean than to disobey God when He says, don't do that. How many of you have had God say, don't do that, and you went ahead and did it? How many? Okay. It's dangerous business, isn't it? It's dangerous business. God loves us. God's not trying to destroy us. He wants us to love Him and obey Him. Obedience is to be out of love for Him. And He wants to save us from the things that are coming on the earth in these last days. The time is short. I'm not telling you when it's happening. I don't know. But I'm beginning to believe that if I can live as long as my great-grandmother lived, I may be here for it. See, just a few years ago, I thought, oh, I'll never live, you know, for those events. But I'm starting to believe I might live for those events in my lifetime. By the way, my great-grandmother was 101 months. So I've got that on my calendar. Just asking the Lord to give me grace to make it through, you know. All right. Now, God may speak to you things that are literally going to save your life. There's a girl who had been deeply involved in science fiction. And as the Lord began to deal with her, He showed her that it was dulling her sensitivity. And see, there's all kinds of things in the world today. Satan is putting unbelievable things out there on the market for Christians to enjoy that will take their soul to hell. And there's many of them. And they're easily accessible. And everybody else is doing it too. But the end, what is the end result? It's very serious business. I've had times when God would speak to me. I was ready to do something, try something, and God says, "Don't do it." And I had a choice. I could obey him or I could obey Satan. But this girl, God showed her that her involvement in science fiction was dulling her sensitivity to his spirit. And it was preventing her from discerning the voice of the Lord speaking to her. She responded to his voice and his gift of repentance by turning wholly to the Lord. She turned away from it, and the Lord began to restore her. She learned to hate what once had enthralled her because of what it did to her relationship with God. Now, she is so careful to guard against anything that could steal her heart from the Lord or dull her ability to hear his voice. Now, I think Satan likes saints more than he likes sinners. The sinners he already has. If they don't repent, they're going to hell. And they'll spend eternity with him. But he loves to go after those who God called, especially those who God called them to a special ministry. He wants those who have dedicated their life to the Lord, and he wants to deceive them. He wants to take them away and cause them to go to hell where he is forever and ever. And he's not playing games. Not video games. Not anything like that. It's a very serious, serious matter. My father guided me to not run around with a group of boys who would lead me into trouble. Now, I had friends. I played football in high school, and I had some friends, but none of them ever led me into sin. My father had warned me. He says, "Don't run around with other people that are going to take your heart away from the Lord." And I was friendly with many people, but I did not follow them into trouble. And I thank God. I thank God so much that he preserved me. In Psalm 144 and verse 11, "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children." And that word "strange" there means heathen. Those that worship strange gods. And you say, "Well, we don't worship any strange gods in this country." Oh, there's all kinds of strange gods in this nation. And a lot of them are manifest in video games and on TV and movies and hideous things. They're the work of other gods. to take us away from the Lord our God, the only true and living God. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaks vanity or evil. They speak false things. They think they speak things that will take you to hell. And their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, of untruth. And see, our Heavenly Father loves every one of us here so much. He wants us to be with Him for eternity. But to do that, we have to make choices to be clean, to be obedient to Him, to hear His voice, obey what He says to us. It may be difficult at times. God's not going to tell you to do something stupid that's going to take your life. He's going to tell you to do things that are going to give you eternal life, to live forever and ever and ever in heaven. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. But hell is nothing but constant, forever and ever, fire and brimstone. There's no pleasure. It's only torment forever and ever. And do I want to scare you tonight? Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. I want to tell you the truth. And the truth is scary. If you begin to face up with what hell's going to be like and what will take you there, you will change your ways. And when you understand the value of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, oh, what a wonderful thing He's offering to us. He loves us. He cares about us. He's wonderful. Now God used Samuel to speak to His people Israel and turn them into the way of truth and righteousness. And God wants you to hear Him speak, as I said, to each one of you. It may be that you are in a situation and you sense God's presence. Then He may plant a thought in your mind to go and be alone with the Lord. You may not hear an audible voice when God speaks to you. It may be just a thought in your mind. God speaks to me many times that way. He speaks in my mind, and I know it's the Lord. I've learned to recognize that it's His voice. Now, do I have other thoughts in my mind? Yeah, I've got a few. I've still got a brain working. But God will cause us to know His voice. And He may plant a thought in your mind to go and be alone with the Lord. He may move you to wait on the Lord or to pray or both. This can be the voice of the Lord speaking to you and drawing you to Him. And He wants us to make steps to have time in His presence. Many years ago, we were pastoring a church, and it's amazing some of the things God will speak to you. As a pastor must hear from the Lord. You can't successfully look after your flock and care for them properly without hearing from God. It's just impossible. But many years ago, we were pastoring a church, and a father came to the altar with his daughter, and he wanted prayer for her. The father had taken the daughter to the doctor, who said that she had the worst case of eczema, you know, a skin disease, that he had ever seen. And I was preparing to pray for her, and the Lord spoke to me. Now, this never happened before this time. It never has happened since that time. But the Lord spoke to me. I was ready to lay hands on that girl and pray she'd be healed. And God says, don't pray for her. And I'm like, Lord, is this you? I knew it was the Lord. And I thought, Lord, you have a scripture for this? It was most unusual. Well, I knew the Lord was speaking, but I thought, boy, I can't make a mistake on this. So I said to the Father, bring her back next Sunday, and then I'll talk to you about the situation. Well, next Sunday he came back, and I said to that Father, I said, I want you to understand, the Lord spoke to me. I was going to pray for your daughter, but the Lord spoke to me that I was not to pray for her. And I told him that the Lord said that she had this skin disease or condition because she was not receiving correction from her children, from her father. And her mother too. And God was chastening her. How many of you know God has a stick? How many of you ever had God use his stick on you? I'm a tucker. I had it a lot of time. Well, it was amazing. He left. And Wednesday, he called me. This was on Sunday night, or Sunday morning. And on Wednesday, he called me. And he says, we want you to know our daughter has had one of the hardest weeks or half a week of her life. It was only from Sunday to Wednesday. She's had one of the hardest weeks of her life because her mother and I have been correcting her like we weren't doing. And he says, you might be interested to know all the eczema is gone. Completely. It was all gone. No medication, no prayer. Just obedience. Just obedience. And it was because God spoke to me. And I think if I had gone ahead and prayed for her, she'd have probably had eczema to this day. But see, God is amazing. God's amazing what he'll do. And I want to encourage you. We want to develop a keen sensitivity to obey when God speaks to us. And we don't delay or ignore what God says. Sometimes it's very inconvenient to disobey, to obey the Lord. It's so easy to disobey. The flesh would rather that we did. But oh, when God speaks, it's a serious matter, and we don't want to take it lightly. Someone shared with us they were watching a documentary about an American Indian Reservation Police Department. And they were showing how they were investigating criminal activity on the reservation. The Holy Spirit spoke to this person that was watching this program on TV and told them to turn off the documentary at a certain point. But they were so interested. It was such an interesting presentation. They wanted to know what happened, so they didn't obey what God said to them. And they continued watching. They knew they should have turned it off, but they were very interested in the outcome of this situation. So they continued to watch the program. Just then, the American Indian policeman began to chant and call upon his gods to help him. At that very time, When the policeman began to do that, the person watching the documentary could sense those spirits coming into their room. It was on TV, but it came out of the TV right into their room, and those spirits began to afflict this person. They recognized that the peace of God had left, and they were enveloped in a strange presence. They eventually had to go to their authority and ask them to cleanse them from this spirit, and that the peace of God would return to their home. Disobedience had involved them in something greater than they were able to handle. Now, you cannot handle sin. There is every kind of temptation out there in the world. In these days, they're unbelievable. Some of the things are just literally unbelievable. And Christians must understand if they partake of these evil things, they're going to begin to take their sensitivity to the Lord away, toss it out the door, and they're going to be drawn in by every evil thing that's in the world. And you think, oh, I just want to go out and have a little fun, and then later I'll get cleaned up and go to church. You ever known anybody do that? They live like the devil during the week and clean up on Sunday. It's an easy way to go to hell. God wants us to receive from Him as He speaks. He wants everyone that has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to know His voice when He speaks to us. He will make various attempts to communicate with us and instruct us in His ways. God will do that. He loves us. He wants us. He's not going to give up easily on us. But if we refuse when He speaks, how are we going to recover from that? He will make various attempts to communicate with us and instruct us in His ways. It can take some time and experience to develop our understanding of this process. But oh, as we learn to respond to the Lord, He will begin to give us revelation. An understanding of His ways and His purposes. We'll begin to understand why Satan's means are so wicked, even though there's such a strong power behind them luring us to them. Scriptures can come alive to us as God instructs us by speaking to us. We want to make ourselves available to God so that He can speak to us and reveal Himself in His ways to us. He wants us to know Him as He is. He's so wonderful. He's so wonderful. His ways are right. You'll never be sorry if you'll walk in His ways. You'll never be sorry if you obey His voice. Now, it takes time to learn what is His voice. Yes, and we've got to understand there's times when Satan will try and speak to us too. I've had that too. But I've not responded. And God wants to preserve every one of us. Going to camp once a year is not going to guarantee you get to heaven. Is that good doctrine? No response. That's good doctrine. It's true doctrine. can save you for eternity. I want to read to you a psalm, Psalm 1. How many of you know Psalm 1? Wonderful! Hallelujah! I'm glad to hear that. Some of you are from Starville. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It's right there. Now, I want to see every one of you in heaven. I want to see every one of you in heaven. But I believe, from what I've, you know, my wife and I just came here this afternoon, what I've been sensing since I've come here, there's lives that must be set into godly order. There's things that must be repented of. And I believe the Holy Ghost is here tonight to bring the gift of repentance and make it available to those that are willing to respond. God wants to deliver us from anything that has gotten a hold of our life that is going to detour us from our eternal inheritance, that can detour us from living with our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven forever and ever. And you know, as I'm getting older, I'm starting to understand more. God's got plans forever and ever for those that love Him. Amazing plans. Things that we can't even conceive of. If you think the world has some neat things to offer, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's very important that you understand that. Your Heavenly Father has such wonderful things. And I want to encourage you tonight, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, don't leave this place without getting things right with God. And keep yourself right with God. Choose His ways. They'll lead you to eternal life. If not, the truth is, we have eternal damnation, hell. It's a place of torment. It's a place of anguish. And you say, oh, you're just making that up. No, I'm not. It's scriptural. And it's something we need to be very, very clear about. Now, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask if the musicians can come. But I'm going to give opportunity tonight because the Lord spoke to me very clearly earlier this week and last week when I was preparing for tonight. The Lord spoke to me very clearly. This message, I haven't preached it before. Maybe I will again. But God wants to do something tonight. You know in your heart if you're really ready to go be with Jesus if He took you tonight. You know. And this life, this opportunity we have now is not something that's going to be available to us forever and ever. When we leave this earth, we're going to heaven or to hell. God wants us to be with Him forever and ever. He loves us. He takes no pleasure in sending anyone to hell. But that's the only place someone who rejects so great a salvation can go and be in that place of torment forever and ever. I want to be with Jesus. I'm beginning to see more and more plans God has, and they're wonderful. If you think there's some fun things to do on this earth, you haven't seen anything yet. God's got wonderful things ahead for every one of us. But we've got to walk in the way of truth, righteousness, and holiness. Amen? Is everything very clear to you? I don't believe there should be any questions. And yet, there's decisions that must be made tonight. God wants to set things straight. God wants everyone to leave here whenever you leave, tonight or tomorrow. He wants it to be clear. Your slate wiped clean. It's critical that you meet with Jesus tonight, but not just tonight, but every day from now on throughout the rest of your life. It's so important. There's so much at stake. The Lord loves everyone here. He's not against you. He's against Satan and satanic ways. Father, I thank you for your wonderful love for us. Lord, I'm not here to condemn anyone. But Lord, we know our sins will condemn us. We know the tremendous temptation in the world today. And things have gotten really worse than they were in this country. It's the wickedness has increased. And Lord, you want us to be free from it. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And you want to release everyone tonight that is bound by sin. You want to release them from it. Lord, I pray that you will move from heaven. Lord, I pray that you'll move through this place tonight and set every house in order. Lord, I pray that the conviction of the Holy Spirit will come so strong that people will be afraid to leave this place tonight without getting right with God. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy and not sacrifice. Oh God, bring repentance tonight. Bring the precious gift of repentance, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I cry out to you that you'll move upon everyone. You love everyone here. You want each one of us to be with you in heaven. Lord, make that possible the way you move tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And Lord, we commit ourselves to you tonight to move afresh among us. Hallelujah. 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 Pastor Daniel is going to come and give an altar call, give you an opportunity to come and present yourself before the Lord. And you deal with everything. Don't let anything go in your life. It's a serious night. You'll remember this night for eternity, either in heaven or with Satan and his followers.